It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello, it's me. This is episode number 85 of the Carson Show podcast, the Rob Carson Show podcast, I should say. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm recording this on Monday, May the 1st, 2017. I hope you had a glorious weekend. It has been, where I live in Kansas City, awful. Just really, really awful weather. But, you know, it's good. It's good napping weather. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to get to on the show. And just an update or two here. I've launched the podcast on Audio Boom as well. Audio Boom. Right now, it is at Audio Boom and then Carson in the Morning. And it contains podcasts from when I worked at KCMO Talk Radio. And then also, I'm adding current episodes as well. It's to increase my reach, you know. Also, the swag sale continues. If you go to teepublic.com, teepublic.com, and just search for Conserva Tees, T-E-E-S at the end, Conserva Tees, we've got a bunch of really, really cool stuff there. Today, of course, is May Day. There were some climate protests. Was that last week or last weekend? Anyway, there's a new couple of designs there. Proud climate change denier. The answer to the bumper sticker that you see a lot of the times on Priuses that war is not the answer. My response to it, sometimes war is the answer with a grenade as the A in the word war. Some great Kansas City-centric stuff and some great Maryland-centric stuff as well. I want to thank RedMaryland.com for carrying the podcast. You guys are absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Also want to thank GrassMonstersKC.com. GrassMonstersKC, 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mo. They carry Black Hawk, Dixie Choppers, Black Hawk, brand new light commercial mowers. They've got all sorts of Dixie Chopper mowers, including the classic, the Silver Eagle that I have in my garage, the Excalibur. Unreal. And then, of course, they just added Hustler mowers. These are made in Kansas. They are black and gold, and they are sweet. All right, go to Grass Monsters KC if you'd like some more information on this. GrassMonstersKC.com. Thank you, Andrew, for being a big supporter. He's the owner, Andrew Cook. Thank you, my friend. All right, let's talk a little bit about May Day. Today is May Day, also known as International Workers' Day. There are protests around the globe. They're violent in Paris, by the way. They're getting violent right now. Basically, this march has become a giant communist support march. It's a radical leftist communist workers celebration, even though workers always fare worse under communism than any other form of government, particularly against democracy or representative republic. We have the economic system, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So in the U.S., these marches span from immigrants' rights to LGBT awareness to police misconduct. So there's a hodgepodge of things like the Women's March in D.C. A couple months ago, that was a hodgepodge, no real message behind it, just a bunch of anti-Trump, pro-Hillary voters and leftists. That's what it was all about. So this is another march. I mean, we're having these every week, by the way. And I got to tell you, I think they're kind of losing their luster. And if you do this time and time again, people are going to stop listening to you. they're going to stop listening to you. Now, I'm sure that the May 1st march in the United States is supported by leftist organizations, frequently funded by George Soros. That's just the way it is. It's a fact. I know it sounds like a conservative dog whistle. It's not. They're funded. They're bought and paid for. Unions, Soros, leftist organizations, socialist and communist organizations. And it's just like every other march, except for it's a different thing today. This same group of people will be out for whatever march. You know, they had the climate march, the climate change march in Washington, D.C., and it was the same group of people. So we're going to get into some a little bit of climate change news. A lot of times when they do these climate marches or climate summits, they have the coldest weather they've ever had. That's the case with one in Denver on the way. A lot of Donald Trump audio today. He did a speech, a 100-day speech in Pennsylvania over the weekend while the White House Correspondents' Dinner was going on. he did not attend it this year. And of course, a lot of people who are associated with this are butthurt about it. Right? Here's a little bit from Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania.
There's another big gathering taking place tonight in Washington, D.C. Did you hear about it? A large group of Hollywood actors and Washington media are consoling each other in a hotel ballroom in our nation's capital right now. They are gathered together for the White House Correspondents' Dinner without the president.
Now, he went on to work the crowd up, and I thought it was a good speech. It's being held up as some sort of vitriolic hate speech by some in the media. But, you know, the inside the Beltway circle fests that happen all the time, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is one of them. And generally, and I don't blame the president, because 93% of the press coverage of his administration, there's been no honeymoon period. 93% of coverage is negative. So why the hell would he attend? Hasan Minhaj, I guess he's on The Daily Show, which very few people are watching now. Here he is mocking the president. We got Michelle Malkin's take on this in a second. Pretty funny.
You know, a lot of people told me, Hasan, if you go after the administration, it would be petty, unfair, and childish. In other words, presidential. So here we go. I get why Donald Trump didn't want to be roasted tonight. By the looks of him, he's been roasting nonstop for the past 70 years. Historically, the president usually performs at the Correspondents' Dinner, but I think I speak for all of us when I say he's done far too much bombing this month.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people in the media say that Donald Trump goes golfing too much. They're always like, he goes golfing too much, which raises a very important question. Why do you care? Do you want to know what he's not doing when he's golfing? Being president.
Okay, so not particularly funny, delivery not that great. I've done stand-up, didn't want to do it for a living. Just not that good. Just an unknown guy, and just not that good. On Friday, Fox and Friends, Michelle Malkin appeared, talked about why it was a good thing that Donald Trump was skipping it this year.
Self-congratulatory narcissism fest right now, right? Yeah. Big hug to everyone for just being in existence. And that is what the White House Correspondents' Dinner is every year, an annual narcissism fest. I thought that what Trump did in leaving the swamp and doing that rally last night was absolutely brilliant. And it is a great reminder, especially on this roller coaster ride, whether we're talking about the media meltdown every day, or a lot of the internal battles, serious policy disagreements that are going on in D.C. It's a reminder of vintage Trump. I wish he would do this every weekend. I think it would be fabulous.
Well, I think he would
self-congratulatory.
Yeah, the thing about this, why would he attend this meeting? Why would he attend this dinner? You know, you get bashed, vitriolically bashed, week after week. You've got a press that's obsessed with a Russian election story. There's no proof that the Russians were involved. And all of a sudden they want to make nice. So you'll come and appear in the same room and get beaten up again. That doesn't make any sense. There's a little more of Michelle Malkin on the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I do not see Steve Bannon. I do not see.
This is the host again, by the way.
Steve Bannon. Nazi Steve Bannon.
Nazi, ha ha.
Nazi Steve Bannon. Jeff Sessions going to be here tonight? He was busy doing a pre-Civil War reenactment. On his RSVP, he just wrote no, just no, which happens to be his second favorite N-word.
Yeah, unbelievable. I don't blame him for not going. I wouldn't either. And he should avoid going to it at all costs. And then perhaps it'll just collapse on itself.
Your take, Michelle.
Vile, not funny, and confirmation of just how propagandistic most of the White House media is in their responses to those not funny lines and diatribes. So, you know, it's so puzzling, I think, to most of America outside of the coastal bubble. And Donald Trump had it absolutely right. This is an annual gathering of news fakers and Hollywood America haters and Trump bashers who get together to convince themselves that they are absolutely indispensable to American democracy and our constitutional republic. And they've become more diminished and more irrelevant and more exposed than ever.
Now, I was watching some old classic roasts with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. Don Rickles passing brought that about. I was just looking at him online. And there was a roast that they come from a place of love. You love the person who's being roasted, and the person knows that, and you can get away with it. Donald Trump would be going into a den of wolves to be beaten alive at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's not a friendly place for him. It was a very friendly place for Barack Obama. He knew he had the love. He knew he had the love of the media. And so he went. And not so much with Donald Trump. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. By the way, Donald Trump went after the media in front of the media. John Dickerson on Face the Nation this weekend did quite an interview with him. I'm only going to focus on one soundbite, and that is Donald Trump ripping Face the Nation.
The fake media goes out, you know, which we call the mainstream media, which sometimes I must say is you. But when the
you
fake
mean me personally or
your show, I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation. But, you know, your show is sometimes not exactly correct.
OK, so there he is right in front of the guy. You got to admit it only he could do it. Only he could and only he would do it. And he did it. Move on to Maxine Waters. She was on AM Joy this weekend with MSNBC show AM Joy, and she's become a darling of the left because she is doing everything she can to not work with Donald Trump. Here she is once again pursuing. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. I got to get my Maxine Waters theme song out here. Hold on a minute. There it is. Maxine is just insane about Donald Trump's election victory. And I had written on Facebook and Twitter that this is bordering on sedition because she has no intent to work with Donald Trump. All she cares about since his inauguration is removing him from office somehow, legally or otherwise. Here she is going after the Russia. Now, listen how vague she is when she's talking to Joy Reid on AM Joy. Sorry, I don't watch the show. Here she is. And just listen to how incredibly vague this woman is. I've never seen someone carry a battle flag so vehemently with nothing in the arsenal.
No, I don't know who the Trump campaign officials are or were, but I know this.
She doesn't know who the Trump campaign officials were who got in touch with the Kremlin to throw the election.
This Russia connection is a serious issue. I've been talking about it for a long time.
Yes, and you've said nothing.
And each day we learn more and more about it.
Then why don't you share it on these interview programs?
The Guardian article brings us even closer.
And she quotes newspaper articles.
To the facts that something took place. Meetings have taken place.
Now, wait. This investigation's been going on for how long? This is where she is right now. Something took place. Meetings took place. We don't know who the meetings were with, But they did happen.
Conversations have taken place. I've always...
Somebody get her a glass of water.
...said that I believe there was collusion. And if we determine the facts, if the dots are connected, that there has been collusion, then I really do think that this president could be impeached.
Okay. Vagaries. No proof. No evidence. Just... accusations and a refusal to work with the president. Listen how she, I want you to listen to this next soundbite of Maxine Waters talking about a group in the Trump administration, a transition team, and what she calls them deliberately.
A Manafort is going to be about Wilbur Ross, is going to be about Cohen, his lawyer. It's going to be about what I call the Kremlin clan that's been involved in these discussions and trying to make sure that Donald Trump was elected president.
She calls them the Kremlin clan, and she does it for a reason. Kremlin starts with K, K, K. You know what I'm saying. And then she... She talked about the border wall and Trump's speech while the White House Correspondents' Dinner was happening. Check this out. This is really off the hook.
Year after year, you pleaded for Washington to enforce our laws. As illegal immigration surged, refugees flooded in, and lax vetting threatened your family's safety and security. Your pleas have finally been... don't worry, we're going to have the wall. Don't worry about it.
This is why, by the way, he's the president. That was what separated him from the pack. That was the original line, build the wall. That was the reason why he was elected. And Hillary sucked.
Your response, Congresswoman.
That is absolutely racist. Oh, that's that dog whistling.
Dog whistling.
That's saying to people.
It's dog whistling. She said it's dog whistling. It's a dog whistle.
This is what is happening in America with you and all the problems that we have. He's using.
And all the problems that we have. Again, speaking in vagaries.
The Latino population and Mexicans right across the border to create fear in his constituency and those people who tend to want to believe that. It is absolutely divisive. No leader, no president should be saying and doing the kinds of things that he's doing just to keep a constituency together.
No, it's not to keep the constituency together. The constituency is already together. Donald Trump is just doing what he said he would do and what they wanted him to do with regard to illegal immigration. And most people agree with them. Most people agree with them, Maxine. Sorry. One more final audio cut from the bat crap crazy Maxine Waters on Donald Trump.
The Democrats without a leader have become the party of obstruction. They're only interested in themselves and not what's best for the U.S. Your response to Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, his tweets are just horrible. I was looking at some of them where he talked about Democrats were going to close down the parks and families were not going to be able.
That's what you did the last time you shut down the government, Maxine. The last time the government was shut down, Democrats were in power. Barack Obama was in the White House. The Democrats shut down national monuments and parks. If you were in Washington, D.C., literally, they manned up, meaning they hired more employees to keep people from seeing things like the World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial than would otherwise be required. They actually had tens of thousands of signs made up and distributed across the country saying the reason why the park was shut down, the monument was shut down, was because Congress and the shutdown of the federal government. It was meant to place blame on the Republicans. The Republicans always get blamed for it. They become quite artful at it, and they use it purely as a political tool. And when he says, Donald Trump says, that the Democrats want to shut down parks and monuments. He's right.
To take their vacation. He is outrageous. A pathological liar. It is.
God, get her a glass of water.
Absolutely unbelievable that he could be the leader of the greatest nation in the world, and we cannot allow him to stay in that position.
Okay, there you go. Again, she's calling for his ouster 100 days in. You know, can you blame the guy for going out and wanting to be with the people over the weekend and not being in Washington and not being at the correspondence dinner? Honestly, what are you going to get? It's like staying in an abusive, I know, you know, staying in an abusive home. Listen, I grew up in that situation, but Donald decided, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to deal with it. Donald Trump, I guess, is involved and paid for a new ad, which is essentially, it's a 2020 campaign ad talking about the accomplishments, because nobody else is talking about the accomplishments of the first 100 days. Everybody is saying that Donald Trump didn't accomplish anything, while many huge things are happening. Deregulation, by the way, illegal immigration in the country down 73%. The wall's already 73% complete. We got a new Supreme Court justice. I could go on and on. Here's a little bit of the ad, which actually features five media members. They're still shots in this thing.
Donald Trump, sworn in as president 100 days ago. America has rarely seen such success. A respected Supreme Court justice confirmed. Companies investing in American jobs again. America becoming more energy independent. Regulations that kill American jobs eliminated. The biggest tax cut plan in history. You wouldn't know it from watching the news. No. America is winning, and no. President Trump is making America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Okay, so he sounds like he's already running. And again, if he's not going to be covered in the media, other than just negatives, and it is mostly negative. You know, today, the fact that illegal immigration is down 73%, that's good news, right? That's good news. So the president went out and he did a rally. It wasn't a fundraiser, by the way. Barack Obama was famous for the weekend fundraiser. Did a whole bunch of those. Normally, I don't play president's weekly radio address or TV address in this case. I saw the video of it, but it's broadcast. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit of Donald Trump's weekly address.
My fellow Americans, I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history. Most importantly, we're bringing back jobs. You ask the people of Michigan, you ask the people of Ohio, you can ask the people of Pennsylvania, see what's happening, see the car companies come roaring back in. They don't want to leave. They want to stay here. They want a piece of the action. Our country is going up, and it's going up fast. Our companies are doing better. They just announced fantastic profits, all because of what's happened in this rather short period of time. And that's just the beginning.
Yeah, that is the beginning. And there's a lot of things going on there. There's the talk of, and hopefully it will happen, the corporate tax cut and the individual tax cut for the rest of us. Also just the threat of, if you leave this country and you build your stuff overseas, we're going to tax the crap out of it. A little bit more from the president this weekend on his first 100 days.
We're really proud of what we're doing. The F-35 fighter jet program, it was way over budget. I've saved $725 million plus just by getting involved in the negotiation. We're cutting costs, and we're going to have a truly competitive and great country
again. That's the art of the deal, kids. He also did that with the new Air Force One.
Again. In just 14 weeks, my administration has brought profound change to Washington. The most fundamental change can be found in the relationship between the people and their government. For too long, politicians cared more about special interests than they did about a very successful future.
Okay. Here he's talking about the deregulation, how important that is. And I think of all the things that he's done, I think building the wall. Yeah, and he already has built the wall. 73% of it is built just by proclaiming a policy of following existing laws.
In the following weeks, I took unprecedented actions to reverse federal overreach and unleash job creation. We have slashed burdensome regulations and imposed a policy that for each new regulation, two regulations must be erased from the books.
And a lot of that is coming from the EPA, by the way. A lot of that is coming from the EPA. They got rid of that idiotic navigable waters regulation where even puddles in the backyard or cattle ponds could be regulated by the federal government. Ridiculous.
Since my inauguration, economic confidence has soared, reaching higher than any time in 9 years. Optimism among manufacturers is at a record high, and small business confidence has seen its largest increase in nearly four decades.
That's true.
Perhaps the greatest change of all is the renewal of the American spirit. As long as we have faith in each other and trust in God, then the sun will always shine on our very glorious republic. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Yeah, okay, so a nice speech this weekend. You won't hear any of those positives being echoed by the media. The opposite happened with Donald, or with Barack Obama. He had a honeymoon period that was longer than his last vacation, which, by the way, was about 3 months. He's been on vacation for 3 months. Must be rough, huh? Now he's giving away. He's doing $400,000 speeches to big banks. Oh, by the way, if you want to know how many Republicans are in the White House press corps, the annual Politico survey of the media pool covers the president. 63 members of the corps, 5% of them are registered Republicans. That's three people. On the other hand, the poll found out there were 10 registered Democrats in the press corps, which breaks down to about 16% of the entire pool. All right. And then 37% of the press corps are independents. While the number of Republicans in the corps is small, it's an increase from last year. Same poll in 2016 found that of the 72 White House press members asked, zero were registered Republicans at the time. A significantly larger number of the press pool, 60%, said they weren't even registered to vote. Now, you're saying, okay, so 16% Democrat, 5% Republican. Okay, yeah, those aren't huge numbers. Then ask them who they voted for. You'll see the numbers grow dramatically. Dramatically. You've been paying attention to what's going on in France? Emmanuel Macron's lead over Marine Le Pen? I studied French in college. Has taken a heavy hit as France prepares to vote in the final round of the election on Sunday. BBC television had a guy on named Stephen Wolfe, who is an analyst. I thought he had some interesting things to say about why Macron is falling in the polls as the week away from the election vote. They had essentially held an election. Now they are, and this is the final round of it. But I want you to listen. There are a lot of similarities between what happened in this country and what's happening right now in France. Stephen Wolfe.
And Marine Le Pen has shown herself to be a formidable, intelligent politician, not only in terms of her strategy, and her strategy, I think, is the long-lasting message that comes from this. This is about saying we're no longer a nation of left and right, and you can see that by the fact that the political parties have been in. This is now about those who, the elitists, Europeanists who support a major project, and people who are being left behind.
Okay, wow. I mean, that's what's happened here. That's what happened here. The elite, the rejection of the establishment. The rejection of the establishment, it happened, guys. It happened on both sides. Bernie Sanders, the only reason he wasn't the candidate was because the DNC colluded with Hillary Clinton's campaign. Democrats were ready to throw off the establishment too, but Democrat voters got screwed.
And ignored. And there's no doubt about it that Macron is an establishment man. He's been clearly picked out to follow along this kind of tried and tested route that started with Tony Blair, where you choose a good-looking, reasonably telegenic man. They put the same guy in Italy, you know, and only to be voted out recently by the
Italian. Well, one difference is Hillary Clinton is not a particularly attractive man.
They put the same guy in charge of the radicals in Greece so that they can carry on that project, and he is exactly of that ilk. No one is actually showing where his money's coming from. for example. He has actually been involved in banking. So he's perfect for all of that. And that's why it fits into this message, I think, for Marine Le Pen, that you're going to get this divide in Europe. But at the same time, we have to be realistic.
Yeah, you have to be realistic. Le Pen is way behind in polling a week out. But I'm sure that the media structure in France is probably even more left-leaning than the media here. So we'll see. Ann Coulter this weekend was on This Week, and I like Ann Coulter, and she obviously has been the discussion at the top of talk radio for a few weeks with her speech at Berkeley that was ultimately canceled. She was on talking to with Robert Reich, who works at Berkeley right now, used to be the labor secretary under Clinton. Anyway, he's an academic, and he works for Berkeley, and he agreed that Ann Coulter should be able to speak, and Ann Coulter said, well, thank you for acknowledging the obvious, which is for constitutional right. And I love these people who are, you know, acting so high and mighty and saying, I agree with Ann Coulter, even though I disagree with Ann Coulter. You have to. This is why the First Amendment exists. Don't give yourself a medal for supporting someone you normally despise. And here she is talking about Berkeley. And another thing that I had mentioned on a podcast previously is that Berkeley has never been the birthplace of free speech. People say it's the birthplace of free speech. It has been the birthplace of leftist free speech, and it has been the home of leftist free speech ever since. Okay? Conservatism was never a big thing at Berkeley. There may have been a few lively rallies with opposing positions, but by and large, the speech has been very left of center, very anti-Vietnam, very anti-capitalism, like any university. So don't act like Berkeley is the home of free speech. It certainly isn't the home of free speech, and it certainly isn't the home of free thought.
But I mean, I must say, I think this debate has, I mean, first of all, it's divided leftists in the country from those who believe in the Constitution and those who don't. I think we've seen this thuggish violence.
Leftists don't agree with the Constitution. There may be some liberals, but leftists don't.
At university after university after university, Mario Savio, the one who stood up in the 60s and, you know, yelled free speech at Berkeley. Yeah, that was free speech for lefties.
Thank you.
But like they say about democracy in the third world, one man, one vote, one time. As soon as the lefties took over the university, that's it. Free speech is shut down. But anyway, I think that hill, when we have Obama, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Bill Maher, among others, yep, all saying, of course, you should let Ann Coulter speak and not let violent thugs shut it down. Okay, we're done with that hill. Now let's move on to the hill where it's considered, I mean, some of these people, not you, Professor, you know, keep saying, well, of
course. Talking to Robert Reich, by the way.
Of course, it's hateful, but hateful speech is allowed to exist. No, I'm sorry. I'm engaging in a public policy debate. That is not a hateful speech. I think those are the lefties we need to discuss with next. These are important issues of public policy.
And she's exactly right. And she discussed public policy. She writes about public policy. And it's not hate speech. It's not hate. Just it's hate speech for you because you hate her. You hate her speech. Some people hate her speech, so they brand her speech hate speech. Here she is talking about addressing some of the lines that she's used in the past.
You've said that getting rid of women's right to vote is a personal fantasy. You said of one group of 9/11 widows, and I quote, I've never seen people enjoying their husband's death so much. And then there was the tweet that you put out just the day before the election saying, if only people with at least four grandparents born in America were voting, Trump would win in a 50-state landslide. I mean, on that one, by the way, neither Donald Trump or Mike Pence would be able to vote.
Listen to her talk. I love listening to her talk.
Okay, let's just take that one. We can go through all the greatest hits of much of my commentary. I watch roughly 24 hours a day the Hispanic vote, how the Browning of America and how are African Americans voting, how are women voting. I describe one demographic and say how it would come out. And that's hate speech. Why isn't it hate speech to keep telling me how Hispanics are going to vote?
Thank you.
What you're talking about are rhetorical flourishes. And I don't know, maybe you guys think you are smarter than the founding fathers. But they did not put an asterisk on the First Amendment.
No,
maybe,
I think we all
the
agree.
Founding fathers just forgot about that. And no rhetorical flourishes. No jokes.
And she's a funny person. I think she's a funny person. She's got an edge. You know, the only difference between her and Bill Maher's humor is that Bill Maher's humor comes from the left. And he's loved for it. Here she is going after. I love this. Listen to her go after academia and what's happening on American campuses. This is spectacular stuff.
On universities ought to be places where I am not the only conservative most students will hear in 4 years of college. And what this shows, this whole incident shows, again, it shows this radical insulated left on the college campuses and the entire left wing, including President Obama and Bill Maher on the other side, and what useless institutions our universities are. The prices have gone up 3,000% since the 70s. Is the education better? No, it's worse. The lefties are on the side of the thugs. They've taken over the universities. I don't think anyone learns anything at college anymore. It's a four-year vacation, and I think that's what people ought to be looking at, because the taxpayers are supporting these universities, right? Not just University of California, but with federal grants, every university in America.
I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of madness going on university campuses everywhere. And this is the straw that broke the camel's back. This is it. This is the line that cannot be crossed. You have to allow free speech. You cannot allow violence. You cannot allow black shirts. You cannot allow anarchists to shut down free speech. It's got to stop. The masks got to come off. People about to be thrown in jail. That's it. When they are violent, when they wreck storefronts, when they injure people, when they make terroristic threats, they need to be unmasked and thrown in jail. That's it. A couple more stories here on university madness here. This is kind of funny, actually. Yale Republicans decided to go after grad students who are striking. They're doing a hunger strike. Problem is, when they get hungry, they can check out and have somebody sit with them, sit in for them, all right? So members of the Yale College Republicans served barbecued beef, baked beans, and corn to the campus community just inches away from the striking members of the Union Local 33, which is protesting Yale's refusal to treat them like a union and negotiate. All right. Now, grad students don't get paid a lot of money. I think it's like $30,000, $35,000, and then they get $40,000 worth of tuition as well. So free tuition, essentially. And they are grousing about this. And they've been buoyed by Columbia University, which I guess allowed the grad students to unionize. And, this is going to keep them in the university and in academia for the rest of their lives, essentially. That's really what this is all about. So they say that Yale takes advantage of them to teach bratty, wealthy undergraduates for pennies. Okay, whatever. Welcome to paying your dues, kids. You ever done an unpaid internship? Yeah, you ever done that? There have been several of these hunger strikes that have happened, and that now there is this is the hunger strike of the snowflake generation. When you get hungry, you can step out, have somebody sit in for you, eat a cheeseburger, whatever, and then come back and strike some more. It's pointless and stupid. Pointless and stupid. Oh, here's another story. This is outstanding. This went viral over the weekend. I commented it on a variety of different sites about it. Britain's largest national student union has told attendees of its annual conference that they would face consequences for cheering and clapping because these forms of expression exclude deaf people. National Union of Students, which includes mostly university student unions, held a two-day conference on Tuesday. During the conference, audience members were repeatedly warned they must stop whooping and expressing support for a speaker because it has a serious impact on the accessibility of the conference. Instead of clapping, the students were advised to, are you ready for this? We're advised to use jazz hands, a gesture when people wave their hands in the air as it's believed to be more inclusive to people with hearing problems. Student publication The Tab captured a video showing some students doing jazz hands after the election of the new student president on Wednesday. The union's committee member, Estelle Hart, who chaired a session on Thursday, told students no whooping does have a serious impact on some delegates' ability to access conference. She later reminded students, saying, gentler reminder not to whoop.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to turn off the lights, too, because that's insensitive to blind students. Am I right? Of course I'm right. Apparently, vice president for welfare of this group said, we've had a number of requests that people stop whooping. You know where they came from? It came from people who can hear. It came from people who can hear. That's where all of these things happen. There are a bunch of people who are willing to step up and be offended for another group. The same thing goes with Native American mascots. Most of the people doing the complaining are not Native Americans, but they're willing to step in and be offended for them. And I'm sure this is the case with this university council meeting. All right, that's about going to do it for us today. Want to remind you that we've got the really cool swag online. Just go to teepublic.com, teepublic.com. Look for Conservatees, T-E-E-S. The website is Rob Carson Show. The Facebook page is Rob Carson Show. And our sponsor is Grass Monsters KC, grassmonsterskc.com. If you want a commercial mower, If you want a mower for your own yard or your church's yard or whatever, American-made Dixie Chopper and Hustler Mowers, grassmonsterskc.com. Have a glorious rest of your day. We'll see you back here for episode number 86 of the Carson Show podcast. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.